Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We're in a series this morning called Family Circus. Let me just take a survey. Are there any moments in your life where you feel like your family is a circus? Some of you don't have your hands raised. I would like to interview you later and understand. Do you really have the secret? Or are you just in denial? I don't know. I mean, the other day we were at the house. Stella had, that's our 4-year-old daughter. She had this guitar that's a kid's guitar. Nora had some kind of drum set banging, and they were banging, they were playing, they were singing at the top of their lungs. And Megan looked at me, and I'll be honest, I joined in with the screaming too. If you can't beat them, you just join them, right? And Megan looked at me. She said, "We need a video of this because our family is a circus." And so this morning when you walked in, you smelt some popcorn, which, by the way, you can have on your way out for free this morning. So that can be your appetizer on your way to the wherever it is you're going to eat today. But here's what I know, that families can get crazy. And some of you have told me, you've encouraged my heart by letting me know when my kids become teenagers, it doesn't change, that our families kind of stay crazy all the time. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how to deal with our family circus, with this circus of life that sometimes we find ourselves in. And this morning, I want to talk to you specifically about the struggle to juggle, all right? How many of you ever feel like you're just juggling through life sometimes? And if you're like me, sometimes maybe you even feel like you've dropped the ball a time or two. And I was doing some research for this sermon, and I discovered that someone said, this kind of hurt my feelings, that someone once said, if you are talented enough to tie your shoes, then you are talented enough to juggle. I've been tying my shoes for like 40-something years now, and after 3 weeks of practicing, I still cannot juggle. It was my hope that I could walk up here this morning and start juggling for you and have the points of my sermons written on some tennis balls, and I could just juggle for you the whole sermon while I was preaching today. And me and Stella have been practicing, and I can tell you, I just can't do it. But that doesn't make me lose sleep. What does make me lose sleep is that sometimes I can't even juggle the things in my life that I feel like I should be juggling. You ever feel like you drop the ball in life? You ever feel like I'm trying to keep all this stuff going and sometimes I can't keep it going? This morning, I want to talk about some of the things that you struggle to juggle. And for some help this morning, I need someone who can spell and write legibly. Lily, can you spell? And can you write where other people can read it? Because those are two things I can't do. You can do it? All right, come up here. So I need your help this morning, and I'm gonna say some things, and then you're just gonna write like the whole way what it is they say. And then someone else may say something that's similar, and I'll have you write it on the back. But for the most part, everything I tell you is gonna get its own ball that we're gonna try to juggle. So you can have the ginormous Sharpie, or you can have the medium-sized Sharpie. You want that. Okay, awesome. If you change your mind, there they are. So I need your help this morning. Tell me something. What is something you struggle to juggle? Wow. Finances. So let's just write money. We struggle to juggle money. Any Dave Ramsey fans in the house, you know? Yeah, I used to listen to them all the time because there was a moment in my life where it was a constant struggle to juggle money. Perfect. Awesome. Let's put that one on the racks. And if you'll put it on the rack so they can see it, there you go. They can keep on seeing it. All right, help me out again. What is something else that you struggle to juggle? Okay, I heard school. Let's write school down on one. School is back in session, which that affects everyone, right? Life's changed on August the 13th when school started back. It used to take me 90 seconds to get to work. Now it takes me 5 minutes because school is in session. What else do people struggle to juggle? Kids. Let's write our kids on there, right? You got to keep their teeth brush their hair, combed, and make sure you don't get those two devices mixed up in the process. Kids, you got to juggle kids. What else you got to juggle? Time. Somebody's, yeah, we'll just write time. That's cool. And the next one we'll write, Lily, the next time we'll either, next one either put chores or work, because that's kind of the same thing depending on whether you're 13 or 33, I guess. All right, what else do you struggle to juggle? Health. Right? You try to get in that workout at 5 a.m. in the morning or 6 a.m. in the morning or 6 p.m. in the evening. I've discovered there's no good time to fit in that one. All right, so health can be on one. What else do you try to juggle?
Fishing.
Fishing? How about, Lily, let's write hobbies on one. Because I know there's some people that like to fish. There's some people that like to golf. There's some people that like to ride motorcycles. Some people like to play chess. Some people like to play checkers. Some of you play badminton. I don't understand that one. But you do all these things. Okay, no one has said this. And I think this is a huge one. How many of you would just confess, right? Safe zone. This would only be on the World Wide Web, so no one else will know but us. How many would be honest enough that sometimes we wear ourselves out trying to juggle other people's expectations? So let's put people's expectations. People's expectations, other people's expectations. We can go crazy trying to juggle other people's expectations. Now, I don't know if you're so spiritual that this one doesn't bother you, or it's not even a concern for you, but someone might say that you got to juggle church. Got to fit that in there somehow. You can put that on there. What else did I have in there? We have work. We have church. We have kids, but let's put another one on there. Let's put kids' activities. Are there any of you that feel like a full-time taxi driver getting kids to whatever? I mean, that's a full-time job. I have a friend of mine who lives here in Cabot. He told me he spends the first hour of every day getting his kids to school. That's what it takes every day just to get from his house to the two or three campuses his kids attend back home. Getting kids. All right. Anything else? We got like a couple of extra juggling balls here. Anything else? Sleep. That's a good, we should all sleep at some point. Doctors say about 8 hours, I think. Sleep, you got to juggle that. What else? Relationships. Oh yeah, let's do keep some relationships in our life. So this morning, we could probably spend the next hour here talking about the different things we struggle to juggle. But instead of talking about them this morning, let's see if we can find a solution on how to juggle these things better. So let's look to God's Word this morning. Thanks, Lily, so much for your help. And they thank you so much for that they can read it and spell it correctly. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, "So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with deceit and hypocrisy and jealousy and unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation." I'm going to stop reading the scripture to you right now, but I'll just tell you, through the points of this message, you're going to get the next few scriptures that falls after this. But I want to stop right there because I want to ask you to look at that statement. We're going to pray, then we'll talk about it. So that we can grow into a full experience of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I thank you that in this room this morning, Lord, are people who are hungry for your help. They're hungry to know you in a greater form and a fashion, and they're hungry for your blessing in their life. And I pray that will be granted to them this morning by your Spirit and by the power that comes through your word. Lord, we know apart from you, we'll do absolutely nothing. So I ask for the help that comes from preaching the word of God to come to me this morning. And I pray for the help of the Holy Spirit that lets us hear and understand what the Spirit is saying, to come upon all of us in this room so that we can hear together, respond together, and rejoice together at what you're doing in us, through us, and for us in our lives. And we'll give you thanks. And all God's people said amen. Amen. I want to read that statement to you again. So that you may grow into the full experience of salvation. The full experience of salvation. There's a question I want to ask and answer for you this morning. Is it possible that you can give your heart to Jesus, that you can be saved and on your way to heaven, and yet you still not experience the full joy and life and promise that God has for your life? The answer is yes. We can get so busy juggling all this stuff. I'm pretty good with two. We can get so busy juggling all this stuff that we have so much stuff in our hands that we can never take hold of what God has in His hands. I believe it is a very effective trick of the devil, a very effective trick of the enemy, to get you and I to consume our lives of juggling things of lesser importance that we miss out on taking into our hands and our lives the things that are most important. So this morning I want to teach us to, from God's word, how to take hold of this full experience of salvation, because I'm afraid that some of us have settled for way, way too little when it comes to the things that God has for us, because we spend our whole lives struggling to juggle things that take the place of the joy and the peace and the help that God has for us. And so how do I win the struggle with juggling? That's the question this morning. Here's the answer. Number one is, if you want to win the struggle with juggling, is you've got to learn to eliminate some of the worthless stuff you've been trying to juggle. See, one of these things in here, let me see, Lily wrote right here. Some of these things are called people's expectations. How many would say that you have spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, and even a lot of money trying to manage what other people think? We all fall in that trap at some point, at some time. And one of the first things Peter says in this chapter you read, he says, so get rid of all evil behavior. He says, be done with deceit, be done with hypocrisy, be done with jealousy, be done with all kinds of unkind speech, so that you can grow up into salvation. And here's what he's reminding us this morning, is all those things that Peter just said were evil: jealousy, lying, hypocrisy. Do you know what the stem of all of those things are within us? This right here. We don't want to disappoint people. We don't want to not live up to someone else's expectations. We don't want to stand out. We don't want someone to think less of us. I mean, just think of how many times you lied to save face. You know, I used to struggle with that a lot, but I've just discovered one of the ways I beat my lying problem is this. I discovered I stink at it. Because, I mean, when you lie one time, then you have to lie again to cover up for that lie. And the reason you lied in the first place was you were trying to manage someone's expectation of you. You were trying to hide the truth for them. And Peter says there's actually some specific things in our life that we need to lay down, that they don't have any value in our life any longer. You know, when you came to Jesus, and you said, Lord, here I am. I need you. In that moment, God looked at you and he said, you know, you may be saying that you need me, but God wants you to know this morning. If you don't know this, let me just tell you this morning. God wants you. We need him, but God wants us. And he wanted us beyond all the stuff, beyond our sin, beyond our mess ups and our hiccups and our mistakes and our repeated offenses and how we've bent and broken our lives trying to meet someone else's expectation. God wanted us anyway. In the moment he saved us and redeemed us, can we just be honest? We had our hands in a lot of things, didn't we? And sometimes we come to Jesus and he saves us and we have our hands in the way we spend our time, the way we live our lives. We have our hands in all this stuff and Jesus saves us, but we don't release what's in our hands. We just keep trying to juggle the same junk. And we wonder, why do I keep dropping the ball on my family? Why do I keep dropping the ball in my commitment to God? Why do I keep dropping my ball? It's because you've never given up the parts of your life that you don't really need anyway. See, when you came to Jesus, there are certain things you had your hands on that we just got to learn to take our hands off of. Amen? So the first thing we're going to do, and some of you are being real quiet this morning because you're thinking, man, he's about to tell me I got to give up something that I don't need. Yep. That's it. But it's not my job to tell you what that thing is that you don't need this morning. I've discovered the Holy Spirit does a much better job of that than I do. I am here to tell you this morning, listen to that voice. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you are never going to take your hands and release something that's in your hands that God tells you release, and 5 years later think, man, I wish I would have kept that. Because what he's going to put in your hands and replace with that is something greater than you could ever take hold of in your best efforts. So the first way we win at the juggling game is we learn to let go of things that are worthless. Here's the second thing, is we've got to determine the value of the things we keep. Now, I know you can't see all this stuff, and when you walked in the room this morning, someone handed you some of these blue dots, and you're in red dots, and you were wondering, what does those matter? And I'm about to tell you what they all amount to. But in verse number 4, he says, so you can grow up into salvation. He says, in verse number 4, he says, but you're coming to Christ, who's the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but chosen of God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building. Say this with me, God's building me. Do you know God's building you? It's sort of like, imagine yourself, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but think of yourself as a brick that God is shaping and molding to fit perfectly into his kingdom. And as long as we have life in our lungs, God is going to keep on shaping and molding me. Some of you are like me. You grew up in church, going to children's church. If you didn't, I'll just tell you, when I was in children's church, we used to sing this song, and it went like this. He's still working on me. Right? Newsflash. He's still working on me. And he's trying to work on you too. Have you been led in him? I don't know. But one of the ways he works on us and he molds and he shapes us, and the way we win this juggling game is we have to decide. I'm going to try to move this out so some people in this other room can see. We have to decide, what are the real values of the things I'm trying to juggle? Because let's just look at these things. Except for that one. Let's move this one. Let's move some of these around so you can see them. I wish you could see them all. You know, yeah. Wouldn't you say that all these have value? It's not a trick question. Feel free to. Do they all have value? Yes. Do they all have the same value? No. So what we've got to do, the second key to winning the struggle with your juggle is to learn what things in my life matter most. And I want to say this again. All of these things have value. So because in just a minute, I'm going to put some blue dots on some stuff that, yes, it has value, but it only has temporary value. Like money. We spend our whole lives trying to earn it. You know, the gold standard used to be our standard, but we still think of money as gold, and yet when we get to heaven, the streets are made out of it. Now, we need it to buy air conditioning, don't we? Right? So it is valuable. If you don't think air conditioning is valuable, go sit somewhere on a whatever day we're living in, September day in Arkansas, without it. It's valuable. It's just not eternally valuable. It's got temporary value. Let's look at some of these other things and ask ourselves, let's get some of the easier ones. How about school? Eternal value or temporary value? It's kind of a hard question, I know. It might be, the only way you can figure it out is asking, why am I in school? Am I in school to earn money? Or am I in school to learn how to better myself for ministry that God wants me to do someday? Because someone once said the greatest tragedy in life is to find yourself at the opportunity of a lifetime and be disqualified to do it or to take it. So there is some value in school, but the question is it eternal value or temporary value? And you've got to decide, is it temporary or eternal? Let's take a vote. Temporary or eternal? Okay, y'all said it. Y'all are making all the teachers in the room really mad. And I'm married to one of them. But Megan, they said it, not me. Okay. So, temporary. All right. How about this one? Kids. I don't know about you, but my kids. Okay, your kids. Eternal value? Okay, so they get a red dot. All right. Red means they last forever. They don't have to live with you forever. But the value they have lasts forever. We got to hurry up because I got to tell you some more. Work. Now, remember, we're not saying these things don't have value. They all have value. Say that out loud so I know you're getting it. But they have different values, okay? What about health? Health, eternal value or temporary? Good job. The Bible even has something to say about that. All right. What about our hobbies? Come on. Surely golf is near God's heart. Temporary? But Jesus called fishermen to follow him. Still temporary? Man, y'all are like breaking my heart here. Okay. Kids' activities. Yeah. Kids' activities. Eternal or temporary? Wow, temporary. I can't believe y'all said that. I got to hurry. How about our relationships? Eternal. Can't take much to heaven, but you can take people with you. How about the church? Okay. How about sleep? How about our time? How about depending on what you do with it? Depends on what you do with it. I just do that. Forgive me for taking 5 minutes of your time this morning to do that, but there's some people, some of us, how about this, some of me. Sometimes I look at all this stuff and I'm juggling and I think, man, this is so important. I mean, if I don't have money, I can't pay the bills. And if I don't get my kids in the right school, then they may not grow up to be the next scientist and they can't fund my retirement. And if I'm not healthy, you know, nobody wants to listen to a preacher that's bald and, you know, so I have all this stuff. Doesn't it all matter? And I'll just tell you, one of the reasons we lose and we struggle the juggling game so much is that we think everything matters equally. And you just pointed out, it doesn't. And so if it doesn't all matter equally, then I have to understand that sometimes it's okay if I drop the ball. If I'm juggling my kids and my hobby, and I can only keep one thing going, how much is it okay if I drop that? It's okay if I drop it for a day. It's okay if I drop it for a week. It's okay if I drop it for a month. It's been dropped for about a month now. It's okay, right? But what about this? You know, I've got my whole life to do that. But this right here, Brother Mark, most research says I've got 12 years to make an impact. I've got 18 years that they're in my house. Some of you are saying, nuh-uh. Usually 18 years. And so I can afford to drop that, but I can't afford to drop this. I can afford to drop the ball sometimes of saying, am I going to put money first, or am I going to put, you know, what God's called me to do first, is which one it is. And if we think we got to keep them both, we might drop the wrong one. And sometimes we struggle with juggling because we try to keep everything in our hands, and we can't even walk, much less keep them afloat like we're supposed to. And the struggle to juggle is going to continue to be something that plagues your life until you determine what in your life really matters. It's okay if I drop certain things, as long as I don't drop the main things. You know, there was a little bit of, disagreement in the crowd a few minutes ago. How do you lose these things? We just got started. How do you do this? There's one of these that says kids act. There it is. Thank you. Kids activities and kids. Where did I just put my kids? You ever ask that question? Here they are. We ask that question all the time at our house. It is a family circuit. So one of the most repeated questions is, where's Nora? You know, I'm just going to tell you, you did my heart good a few minutes ago but I got to just say it. There is a difference between our kids and our kids' activities. And we have to understand that just because we drop one doesn't mean we drop the other. Does this have value? Absolutely. I mean, I'm convinced my daughter is going to be on the LPGA someday, and that's my retirement plan. Stella's going to make it as a professional golfer, and she's going to send me a stipend every week when she wins. That's my plan. But here's the deal. God has not called me to raise an LPGA professional. God's called me to make a disciple out of my kids. And it doesn't matter if I drop this ball every single day. I cannot drop this ball. I have 12 years to point my kids to Jesus. So everything that has a blue dot has to fall so I can hang on to what has the red dots in my life. And I gave you this morning, if you walked in the door, I hope you received one blue dot and one red dot, because here's what I want to ask you to do at this point this morning. When you get home this afternoon, I would like for you to get that blue dot and you put it on the thing in your life that you've been holding up to the point that you've been dropping things that should be red dot things. And I would like for you to put a blue dot on it. I've had this fear, and now I get to confess my fears before you. And I know you think I'm a morbid person, and I'm sorry. I just have weird thoughts and dreams. But I've had this fear that, I'll tell you why I had it. We went on the missions trip last week, and I'm still this much afraid that planes are going to crash when I'm on them. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to be upset if this plane crashes and I die. And they have my funeral, and at the front of the assembly, they have my casket and my Bible and my set of golf clubs. Because I love to play golf. But I just want to ask you, church, Please do not ever put my golf clubs next to my casket if I live longer or if I live shorter than you do. Because I am keenly aware that there's things in my life that though I love them, they have temporary value and not eternal value. And here's the thing. I want my life marked with what has eternal value, not with what has temporary value. It's all valuable. You may love, I think I love just about everything on this display. But in order for me to win my struggle with the juggle, I have to understand what matters most, and so do you. And if you're wondering, well, Pastor, how do I know what matters most? Here's the key in verse number 4. It says, you are coming to Christ. Now, when we accept Jesus as the leader of our life, we come to Jesus then. But do you know we should come to Jesus every single day? And part of the reason we come to Jesus every single day is we take the things in our life and we say, Lord, I can't handle what I'm supposed to be doing with these kids. Lord, I can't handle all the stuff that's going on in the church. Lord, I really can't handle all the stuff that's going on in my job. And so, Lord, I'm just going to present these things to you. See, I want to, Addison, would you come help me? If you'll just stand right here in front of this blue thing. See, the problem is we're afraid. We think our job as believers is to keep all this stuff in the air. When our real job, see, another thing I learned about juggling, I don't want to get the cart before the horse, is they say, and here's where some of our problems is, they say the key to juggling is not learning how to catch the ball, because most of us instinctively know how to catch. The key to learn how to juggle is, they call it the art of the toss. You got to learn to toss that ball in the same spot every time so you know where it's going to be so it comes down. So you're not running over here, dropping one thing, and running over there and dropping another. And sometimes that describes our life. We don't know how to toss things in the right spot. Well, as believers, you're not called to toss these things in your life to the right spot. You're called to toss them to the right person. One of the Bible says, to cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And so when the world looks at our lives, they may see us like we're juggling, but we're actually just tossing. We're coming to the Lord with our issues and our concerns. I'm so glad he caught that. And then as we present these things to us, he hands them back to us one at a time so we can do what's needed on our job, with our kids, in the church, whatever it is, you do that, and then you don't just toss it back up in the air and hope I can throw it so high it'll stay up there until I can handle it again. No, you toss it back onto the Lord. You cast it back in his direction. And by the way, God never misses. See, some of you feel like you live your whole life doing this show by yourself, when it's actually a partnership with God. I asked this morning, how many of you know how to juggle, and no one jumped up and said, me? Let me ask you this. How many of you know how to play catch? See, the reason we struggle to juggle is we forget that God hasn't really called us to juggle. He's really called us to play catch. We toss things in God's direction. He tosses things in our direction. It's a partnership between God and us. And so when you find yourself struggling to juggle, one of the things you got to do is ask yourself this question. Am I mastering the art of the toss? Am I throwing it to myself? Am I throwing it to other people? Because every time, listen, wherever you throw your problems, and it is an indication of where you have your faith. And if I throw my problems to this person or that person, then I got to try to get back to this person, get back to that person, try to. But if I just cast all my cares upon him, then I'm in perfect position to receive the help of God and what he has for me. So we got to master the art of the toss. That's point 3. Thanks, Addison. And here's my closing point this morning. Is to win this struggle with juggling. Is you got to focus on displaying the goodness of God. Here's what I find myself doing and saying sometimes. I mean, this one right here. Eternal value. but can run you ragged. Yes? Listen right here. Eternal value can keep you up at night. If I'm not careful, I can forget that the things that God has put in my life are actually gifts of God. And the reason He put these gifts in my life are not some test to see if you can perform perfectly, but so that you can taste the goodness of the God that we serve. And the Bible says it's the goodness of God that draw people to repentance. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and give praise to your Father in heaven." See, our juggling act isn't something we should do alone. And yes, there's got to be times when it is a struggle to juggle, but the good news is God helps us do the things He puts in our hands to do. But it's actually an opportunity for God's help and God's care and God's power and God's love to be seen in your life. You may struggle to juggle, but you don't have to struggle alone. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning, because we're going to close in a word of prayer. Because some of you have walked in this morning and you've been struggling, juggling all the responsibilities and all the stuff in your life. And when you're struggling, we often worry, and I didn't say this earlier, but I'll say it now. Worry always moves us out of position to receive God's help. Worry is evidence that I'm not trusting God. Worry is evidence that I need to take what I'm worried about and put it in the hands of God instead of in my own hands. So God wants to help us with our struggle to juggle. But step one is just determine, are there some things that I'm juggling that I need to lay down? Peter named several. Most of them fit in people's expectations of us. Maybe you're still juggling guilt and sin from your past. And lay that down. Jesus reminds us that when we come to Him, that He forgives us and He cleanses us. And the Word of God reminds us that we are, at that moment, a brand new creature. All the old is past and everything becomes brand new. So stop trying to juggle stuff from your past. Don't let what you've been hanging on to keep you from grabbing hold of what God has for you. So there's a couple prayer points I want to pray with you about this morning before we go. Prayer point number one is this. If you know you need to lay aside some of the things you've been juggling. Some of the things you've been juggling don't have temporary value or eternal value. They're completely worthless. They're things such as, what do people think? They're habits of my past. They're references to the life I used to lead, but they have no power or presence in my life today. And yet you're spending a lot of time, energy, emotion, money, trying to keep something going that really has no value to God and doesn't have any value to you. Today the Lord is telling you to lay that down. Stop trying to win the juggling act, juggling too much. Bless you this morning. Say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit's teaching me about laying down some worthless stuff of no value. I would love to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to call you forward. Just going to include you in prayer in just a moment. Would you lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. 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 Several across this room today. And you're going to win the struggle with this juggle with God's help. Prayer point number two is you need to master the art, and you know this. You know, Pastor, I've got to master the art of determining what things in my life has eternal value and what things have temporary value. And I need to master the art of making sure that the things with eternal value matter most. Listen, we're all going to drop the ball sometimes. But we need the best of our ability to make sure the ball we're dropping is the one that can be dropped. Now, we're going to drop the ball sometimes. And on the things that, hey, I drop the ball with my kids quite often. But I know this, that one matters. I got to pick that thing up quick and fast before someone else does. You say, Pastor, I've just been treating everything in my life like it has equal value, but I've been, maybe some of you in this room, you've been going crazy trying to please everybody and everyone. In the process, you've pleased nobody and no one, and you know you're not pleasing God, and you're not even pleasing yourself because you haven't taken time to say, Lord, here's my life. What matters most? And today, you just sense the Holy Spirit nudging you on the inside. The Spirit of God nudging you, saying, hey, you need to decide today what matters most. Is it the applause of people or the applause of God? Is it what seems pleasurable to you, or is it what seems pleasurable to God? What has temporary value? What has eternal value? You say, Pastor, today I know that's some evaluation I need to do, and I sense the Holy Spirit even evaluating me now. I just want to include you in a prayer about that. Would you lift your hand real quick? That's me today, Pastor. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me all across this room today? And this is a message really about surrendering our thoughts to His thoughts, our ways to His ways, our values to His values. And so one of the universal signs of surrender is just lifting our hands and saying, Lord, I give it to You. And so I challenge you this morning, all across this room, can we just lift our hands and let's just say, Lord, we give our lives to You this morning, fresh and new. Lord, I give my life to You to lead and guide and direct. Lord, I give my life to You to determine what is valuable and what is most valuable. And Father, I confess this morning that I am the leading offender in this struggle to juggle. But Lord, I know there's hope that I can have in the midst of my struggle. I know there's clarity I can receive in the middle of this process that I'm in. And it's the clarity of God. It's the values of heaven. It's the help of my Lord. So I pray this morning, Lord, for those that You've just, with a highlighter of heaven, You've highlighted in their life what things have no value. God, I pray You'll give them the courage and the boldness and the conviction to follow through with what You're saying to them this morning, to lay aside those things that should be laid aside. Lord, I pray for those that are just, Lord, they have a lot of things in life that truly are valuable, but Lord, sometimes when everything's valuable, everything gets treated like nothing's valuable. So Lord, help us tell the difference between what is eternally significant and what is temporarily significant, so that we can live lives that experience the joy and the peace of the salvation that You've given us. And God, I pray for those who are struggling this morning with this juggling process. Lord, help them. Let them remember they're not alone, that they're not just casting these things in the air. We're casting our cares upon You because You care for us. So I pray the care of God will be manifest, will be personally experienced in every person's life in the room today. And we'll give You thanks for it. Before we go, can we just lift our hands and even give the Lord a hand clap for doing that in our lives today? We love You, Jesus.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.